Nehemiah chapter 12, the Jerusalem community choir. Number one, dedication. Number two, purification. And number three, celebration. This man on the screen is the nation's favorite choir master. He's 41, but he doesn't look it, does he? Fresh-faced, freckled, glasses, an enormous smile, and a passion for teaching people how to sing. Put up your hand if you like singing. I'd love to sing in a community choir, wouldn't you? Do you know, can I tell you, this is the truth. Shadi and Dapo were married here. That's Janet and Sunday's daughter. It was amazing. They all turned up in these green gowns with gold, and they danced down the aisle. And when the hymns were being sung, they were swaying, their hands were up in the air, they were singing in harmony, and they were singing with such passion, I thought, this fella Gareth Malone would have loved to have taught that group of people. He's taught the choir, military ladies. Unbelievable, isn't it? Not only so, he did pitch battle. And last night, I am told, the Leeds contemporary singers won the pitch battle. And Mike's just said, that's right. The Leeds contemporary singers were giving it the bifters. Would you like to know what his rules are for anyone who wants to join his choir? Here they are, ready? Number one, learn the tune. Number two, have a go. Number three, find the right place with the right acoustics. Number four, warm up your voice. Sing 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the afternoon, and 10 minutes at night. Sing the right song. Sing with others. And practice, 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 practice. Did you know that the Christian church is a musical movement? Whenever there's been revivals, there has been the outbreak of spontaneous, beautiful, harmonious, loud, enthusiastic singing and praise. So much so that in the front of the hymn book we used to have, John Wesley gave these instructions. Ready? To all Christians. Number one, learn the tune. Number two, have a go. Number three, sing all the words. Number four, sing with enthusiasm. Number five, don't bellow. Number six, sing in tune and in time. And number seven, sing to the glory of God. Now, did you see all the names that were being read out this morning? I'm not going to go through all them. I'm going to tell you about one man. Do you want to find him? All right? His name is at the end of verse 42. Jezariah, their leader. The singers sang with Jezariah, their leader. Can you picture him? He is the Gareth Malone of the Jerusalem Community Choir. Actually, according to the Guinness Book of Records, the largest gospel choir that has ever been has 8,688 members. And you can sing in that choir in Manila, in the Philippines. Amazing. But the choir we're going to learn about this morning, this Jerusalem community choir, I think out sings them all. So tune in. Chapter 12, number one, it's about dedication. As the walls of Jerusalem are dedicated to the glory of God. Listen to what the Bible says. And at the dedication of the wall, verse 27 of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgiving, and with singing, with cymbals, harps, and lyres. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the districts surrounding Jerusalem and from the villages of the Netophathites, also from Beth Gilgal and from the region of Geba and Azimuth. And from the singers that had built for Jerusalem, hang on, I can't see that. For the singers had built for themselves villages round Jerusalem. Can you picture the scene? Remember that before dedication, there's been the consecration of all the people. They've dedicated their lives to the Lord and consecrated themselves to them. Now they're gathering from all round the region, coming together to the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. Now, 20 years ago in September, a huge crowd gathered in this room and a plaque was put up in the foyer This building is now dedicated to the glory of God. And if you go down into the center of town, you'll sometimes see some monuments and you'll read dedicated to. Here now, the people have been consecrated. Remember, they're gathering now together on the walls and they're going to dedicate these walls to the glory of God. Can you picture the scene? You know, I built that bit there. See that mortar there? I mixed that mortar there. See that gate? I hung that gate there. Do you see that tower? I fixed that tower there. And all the people are gathered and they're going to dedicate this wall to the glory of God. Of course, in the New Testament, we don't dedicate walls as such. We don't dedicate buildings as such, do we? Of course we don't. Because the living God does not dwell in temples made with hands. We are the temple of the living God. We are the ones who are to dedicate our lives to him. Isn't that true? What did Paul write when he wrote to the Romans? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves. Present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. It's only your reasonable service. The dedication which needs to happen in our day needs to happen in our lives. And once we dedicate our lives to the glory of God and to his service, do you know what happens? We find that the words of the Psalms begin to live in us. He has turned my mourning into dancing for me. He has taken my sackcloth. To the end my glory may sing praises to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Do you know what we start to sing? We start to sing, he has lifted me up out of the miry clay. He has set my foot upon a rock. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Do you know what we begin to sing? We sing the words of Isaiah. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. And even though the boys and girls who are sitting here this morning singing in a different way, do you know what they do? They say, I've got joy and it's down in my heart, way deep down in my heart. And they start running all the way around the building, sing about it, don't they? You see, it's a musical movement because God puts into the hearts of men and women who consecrate and dedicate their lives to him a new song. A song of praise. A song of thanksgiving. A song of consecration. And I wonder if you can see all the people now gathered. Jezariah is going to lead this great choir, these two great choirs, in fact, when they come together. But they're dedicating that wall to the glory of God. And they're saying to the enemies surrounding them, who remember, they had said, hadn't they? All we have to do is huff and puff and we'll blow this wall down. Remember what they'd said? A fox could come on this wall and it would fall apart. Now, here are thousands of people marching round the walls and they're declaring these walls of Jerusalem are built to the glory of God. It is God who has done the work. And we're going to dedicate this wall to his glory. Number two, after dedication comes purification. Because now the priests and the Levites and the peoples and the walls and the gates, they're all purified. Look what it says. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and they purified the people and the gates and the wall. And then, if you look at verse 45, and they perform the service of their God and the service of purification, as did the singers and the gatekeepers, according to the command of David and his son Solomon. They found out that David and Solomon, when the temple was built, organized choirs to sing, but before they could ever sing, everything had to be purified. Can you picture all the boys and girls? Because there were boys and girls there. We know that because the Bible says so. Can you picture all the men and women, as well as the priests and the Levites, as well as the leaders? They're washing themselves. Did you get a wash this morning? Did you? Trying to keep you involved here. Did you get a wash this morning? Good. Well, that's good. Right. Well, did your mum wash your hair and part it? Did she scrub your nails? Do you know, when I was a lad like your age, my mother used to put me in a tin bath, get some green soap and scrub me. Because you'd have this great big time. Well, you had to be clean. They're washing their hair, they're washing their hands, they're washing their faces. They're going through a ritual, an Old Testament Levitical ritual, whereby the Levites are cleansed. Not only so, they're dedicating and purifying even the people. Not just the priests and the Levites, but all the people are taking part. And not only so, they're saying to the wall, this part of the wall needs cleansing and purifying. These gates need cleansing and purifying. Why is that? Because the God of the Bible is pure. He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, and he cannot look upon sin. He charges angels with folly. The very heavens are unclean in his sight. And it's amazing here how purification takes place there in Jerusalem. You see, God wants a holy people, not a weird people, not a holier-than-thou people, not a self-righteous people, not I'm a cut above the rest, not an elitist group. Look how good we are. No, these are people who are humble enough to realize their sin has caused a stain and a blot before the face of Almighty God. Their sin has broken their heart. They've broken God's law. Remember David? When he sinned, he was broken. So much so that he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me a right spirit. And here's the people of God, the priests, the Levites, the people, the walls, the gates, going through this ritual, this ceremony of purification. Lord, we want to live lives which are pleasing to you. We want this city to be pleasing to you. When James wrote in the New Testament, here's what he said. Why don't you find it in the Bible? It's James chapter 4. He said this, God opposes the proud, verse 6, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. They're determined to be humble in the presence of God, to be clean in his presence, and then God himself will lift them up, and God himself will exalt his own name amongst them. After purification comes the celebration, because now there's two large choirs, and they sing. And the joy of Jerusalem is heard from far away. Ezra is leading a choir south, Nehemiah and others are in the other choir, and it's going north. He's not leading it. He's following behind it. And they're going to meet together at the house of God. Listen to what the Bible says. Then I brought the leaders of Judah up unto the wall and appointed two great choirs that gave thanks. One went to the south on the wall, to the dung gate. Smelly there. At the fountain gate, they went up straight before them, by the stairs of the city of David, at the ascent of the wall above the house of David, to the water gate on the east. The other choir of those who gave thanks went to the north. And I followed them with half of the people on the wall above the tower of the ovens to the broad wall and above the gate of Ephraim and by the gate of Yeshanah, by the fish gate and the tower of Hananel and the tower of the hundred to the sheep gate. And they came to a halt at the gate of the guard. So both of those who gave thanks stood in the house of God, and I and half of the officials with me. And they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. And the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. What an amazing scene this is. Here are two great choirs of singers. They're going round the walls of Jerusalem. Ezra is leading one group south. Nehemiah is following behind another group which is going north. And as they're walking south and north, they're singing together. Can you imagine what that would be like? I was trying to tell you last week how in the Levitical choirs, one would sing one and the other would respond. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. So they are walking south and walking north and they're singing. Not only so, the singing is so loud that they can hear it all around. There's enthusiasm and there's harmony. And there's joy. Then they meet and there's great sacrifices which are taking place. And the joy of Jerusalem is being witnessed by the people around them. Isn't this amazing? Don't you think? When they reach the temple, here he is, Jezariah, their leader. Okay, Ezra, you've been leading this way. And you've been leading this way or behind them, Nehemiah. You've got them all together here. Now, we've got the musicians here with us. Don't forget, we've got those who are according to verse 28, are with cymbals, harps, and lyres. And now, look, because in verse 41, we have Hananiah and the trumpets. So we've got the cymbals, the harps, and the lyres, and the trumpets. I wonder if they had the drums with them and other playing different. I wonder if people were whistling. I wonder if people were singing in harmony. Can you imagine? Can you try to picture this scene? Now they're all gathered together at the house of God. And here he is standing up before them. Jezariah as their leader. Would you mind if I just give a little bit of exaggerated speech? Hyperbole, would you mind? It's Jezariah. Listen, folks, let's give it the bifters. Let's sing with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And let the enemies of God know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let the enemies of God know we have a God who saves us. We have a God who redeems us. We have a God who delivers us. We have a God who is with us. And the God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts is with us. Let's sing. I can't imagine any choir of Levitical singers not singing this. Are you ready? Sing with me. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks unto him and bless his name. For the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. His steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations. And they sing. What a wonderful picture that is. Of real joy, of real rejoicing. Everybody around hears. Did you know that Henry Light at school was called a no-mark? He really was. This lad will amount to nothing, the teacher said. He'll amount to nothing. How wrong teachers can sometimes be. He wrote one of the greatest hymns ever written. And can I tell you this? If you go for a run with Uncle Bill on an early morning run, you'll sometimes hear me singing this song. Would you like to know how it goes? It goes like this. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like we his praise should sing. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise the everlasting King. Angels, help us to adore him. You behold him face to face. Sun and moon bow down before him. Dwellers all in time and space. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise with us the God of grace. Listen, would you like to know something? The small group of people here have far more reason to be far more enthusiastic in their singing and their praise. Those who are playing in this band here today have far more reason to play skillfully and with enthusiasm to the glory of God now than they ever did then. Because in Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his sending into the world of the Holy Spirit, who has quickened our consciences, opened our eyes, unstopped our ears, quickened our hearts, taken us from the broad road which leads to the destruction, put us on the narrow way that leads to the celestial city, he's put a new song in our heart. And you and I, in Christ, are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. In Christ, regardless of how you feel, regardless of how you fail, his grace is on our lives. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is your portion and mine. If ever a people had a cause to sing, it's you and I. Did you notice? These are happy people. Did you notice? These are a holy people. Did you notice in the last part which was read to us? They're a harmonious people because they're all united in mind and heart to give to the glory of God. It's staggering to see. I want you to know that when Captain James Cook was sailing through the Antarctic, he came across a ship. One of his people on the crew shouted, "Ship ahoy!" Captain James Cook, as it got nearer, they were surrounded by icebergs, said, "Is there anybody on board that ship? Anybody on board the ship?" There was no sound. When they drew near, they found the captain frozen at his ship's log. They found all the people on board the ship frozen. And the last entrance into the ship's log had been 13 years before. I came across a frozen sepulchre full of frozen crew. Captain Cook entered into his ship's log. Never let it be said that you and I are the frozen chosen. That we sing our praise to God with our hands in our pockets and our legs crossed and our head down. And I couldn't give a... We should not be the frozen chosen. We should be men and women on fire to sing the praise of a God who is glorious in his person, majestic in his work, and stupendous in his grace. Let's stand and sing. And let's give it the bifters. Pretend.